Motorsport 411 presents
all the four and two-wheeled action.
Motorsport 411 with Sean Cardavillas.
Welcome to Motorsport 411, your home for all your four and two-wheel action in Africa. This is a special series on the 2022 Safari Rally, where we will showcase the latest and the very best of this jewel in the crown of global rallying. The great Kenyan experience in Africa, arguably the toughest rally in the world. Coming up in this episode.
Ogier already knows where he can cut and can't cut and things like that because he has the experience from last year. Whereas Sebastian Loeb, hugely experienced, it's going to be an enthralling battle.
Let's run the best possible safari rally under the same sort of format as last year. And then for next year and beyond, then we will start to evolve the event and to grow it.
We'll be speaking to the event director of the WRC promoter, Simon Larkin, and we'll catch up with two-time Safari Rally winner, Glenn Edmonds.
All the four and two-wheeled action. Motorsport 411.
Welcome to the show. Now, with the WRC Safari Rally getting underway between the 23rd and the 26th of June, I got to speak to the event director with WRC promoter Simon Larkin. Simon, thank you so much for speaking to us on Motorsport 411. First of all, there are a number of changes this year from last year. Of course, last year we had COVID, and now we've got the hybrids as well, the hybrid rally cars. That makes your job quite challenging this year.
Yeah, it has been challenging, but it also means that it's quite exciting. We've had a number of events already this year where we've had hundreds of thousands of spectators come back. Croatia was a great success. Portugal, again, was great to see all of the spectators out on FAF for the power stage. Probably between 70 and 80,000 spectators just on the one stage. We've got new hybrid cars running a sustainable fuel, so there's a new story there. It's all about creating a relevancy and making sure that we're keeping up with the trends. And one thing that we've seen with these new hybrid cars, that prior to their introduction in Monte Carlo, there was a lot of anxiety or even negativity from some of the fans that the cars weren't going to be as spectacular. But certainly we've seen right from the start in Rally Monte Carlo that there's no loss of spectacle or competition between the teams and the drivers just because of these new cars. And if anything, they're actually comparable, again, just like the last generation of cars with the famous Group B that everyone inevitably compares back to in the historical past. We're very, very, very happy with the way things are going. Each of the manufacturers has now won a race. There's a good spread of drivers. Calais Rovanpera, three in a row, fantastic. It's been a great start to the season.
What are your expectations for the hybrid cars this year in the Safari Rally? Of course, this being the challenging African environment.
Well, I mean, I think, when we made the positive decision to go with hybrid, what we wanted to do is we believe that segment of cars, of hybrid, have a number of generations still left in them. And what we think we can do with things like the Toyota Yaris, the Ford Puma, the Hyundai i20, these are mass market cars. And these are cars that are sold by these three very, very major car companies all around the world. And what we're trying to do is, by using hybrids with a sustainable fuel, we're trying to show the road relevance of these cars and bring some exciting sport into that. Hybrids don't necessarily have the best reputation for road cars, but what they do is we are showing that hybrids can be exciting, that there is genuine relevance to them. And what we're going to do by bringing them to Kenya is put them in yet again another very, very extreme environment, and they are going to prove to be extremely spectacular and we think relevant. Many of us probably, we're used to going in a Yaris, in an Uber or something like that. But no, look what we do with a hybrid car. It's genuinely exciting, and but it just goes to show that, there are some parts of the industry that are going full electric. We all know that that's very difficult in many, many parts of the world for infrastructure reasons and also just for availability of the cars. We can actually make it exciting and part of the sporting story.
Simon, there have been teething problems with these hybrid cars, including heating issues inside the cars. How will that affect their performance during the safari? And secondly, the second part of my question, the WRC has gone environmentally friendly. That includes the use of biofuel. Please tell us more about that.
Yeah, with the heating issues, I mean, Sardinia was very, very hot. I mean, we had temperatures out on the stages in the high 30s and even low 40s. Between Rally Portugal and Rally Italy, full credit to the FIA, they listed a number of changes that the teams could make to the cars without having to go through a homologation process, without the teams having to expend jokers. And you know, we saw the drivers did notice a difference, an additional size on the roof vent, some additional shielding. It made a difference. The drivers, okay, they had a difficult time, but these are also supposed to be athletes, and this is part of the sport. It's part of the relevance that there is going to be adverse conditions for their performance, and this is why they're the extremely fit people that they are. And we saw that those changes made a big difference. And we're certain that with some additional changes, again, which are available to the teams to do, there's no additional work. That all the teams have made certain plannings or implementations in their car, maybe a little bit too far in the performance of the car, not necessarily in the performance of the driver. And there were some very clear things set out by the FIA that made some changes there. And it showed a big, big, big difference because the temperatures were very high. I'm not sure we're going to see in Kenya temperatures that were as high as they were in Sardinia. If we do, fantastic. We also wouldn't mind seeing a spot of rain. We saw a little bit of it last year, but maybe a little bit more. We didn't quite get all of those iconic pictures of Safari in the past in the first edition. We got very close, but maybe that can be 2022. We think the way the cars are evolving is absolutely in the right direction, and I think everyone agrees with that. But with the sustainability, I mean, the fuel is a critical part. It's a process that we went through since 2018 to find the right partner and the right sort of fuel that we can use. It is fully sustainable. We haven't seen any kind of performance drop off at all. And we think that's a clear message that that this is something that can happen and can move into a mass market or retail situation for road cars. We're quite pleased that we were the first world championship to introduce the sustainable fuel when we started in Monte Carlo. It is a point of pride, and it's something that we're keen to roll out. Every single four-wheel drive car entered in the World Rally Championship is running on a sustainable fuel, the entire field. It's fantastic, and it's got a good story. We think there's actually more of that story that we need to make. But so far, we're very happy with the performance. So far, we're not aware of any major technical issues associated with the fuel.
Simon, can you tell us what happens between the events and when the personnel arrive in the country?
Yeah, the teams, we had a busy and difficult schedule with a very short time frame between Rally Portugal and Rally Italia Sardinia. So the teams hurried to get home early last week to get home from Sardinia. The cars were then rebuilt. Most of them take 3, 4, 5 days, depending on the amount of damage they may have inflicted in the previous event. Most of those cars will fly towards the end of this week, along with some other essential air freight. And for most of us, it rely very heavily on sea freight for a lot of our equipment. We all have a duplicate set of equipment compared to what we use in Europe. That all left Europe at the start of April and arrived in Mombasa in sort of mid to late May. And all of that, those containers should be delivered to the service park at the Kenya Wildlife Service training facility later this week. Many of the team will travel over the weekend. The drivers will mostly arrive on Saturday. They start reconnaissance on Monday. It's a slightly longer reconnaissance schedule because of the distances involved for Safari Rally. And then most of the teams will start to fly into Nairobi on Monday.
Now, in terms of last year to this year, there were a number of teething problems in 2021 under COVID. What recommendations have you made to the organisers for 2022?
We haven't had to recommend much because, you know, I think the efforts of the whole team from Safari Rally were excellent last year. To put on the first event in 20 years under those additional stresses and complications of COVID, I mean, the credit has to be given to the whole team there that the event ran extremely well. And one thing that we've said to ourselves, the FIA, and even some of the teams have said to the team there in Kenya is that this year should be a little bit more of a foundation year. Last year went very well. This year is an opportunity to slightly improve on the little things that maybe are a little bit more difficult to do last year under the additional pressures. The pressures because of COVID were immense. There was a lot of control that had to be implemented, a huge amount of administration, which takes up a lot of time and a lot of people's attention. And, you know, it went well. This is about a consolidation year. Let's run the best possible safari rally under the same sort of format as last year. And then for next year and beyond, then we will start to evolve the event and to grow it. This is all about doing every single little thing better than last year. That's it. And we're absolutely certain that they will. We've had one of our staff members down there for a couple of weeks already working within the organization. There are a number that actually fly out again today. There are some people from Motorsport UK, again, joining to help advise. And where they are there as advisors, it's not that these people are coming down to do the job. The competence of the organization down there has never been questioned, and it's not now.
Simon, the Rally One category is very competitive this year with 12 entries. You must be pleased.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that both Sebastian Loeb and Sebastian Ogier are doing limited programs this year and that they've chosen very clearly, and okay, it may not have been public, but we know that it was their ambition from a long time ago to come to Kenya, just goes to show the significance. Everyone wants to win a safari rally, just as everyone wants to win a Rally Finland or a Rally Monte Carlo. This is a relatively new returnee to the calendar, and it's the first. I know it's one of the first ones that they both said that they wanted to do this year, because it has that challenge, it has that mystique, and that heritage attached to it. So it's a good sign that what everyone did, what we all did last year with the return of Safari Rally, was that we wanted to have a traditional safari rally, but in a modern WRC format. And I think we achieved that last year, and it goes to show how enthusiastic everyone is to coming back. There's a number of competitors coming back in WRC2. There are some new competitors who weren't in WRC2 last year who are coming. Everyone wants to come and try and do this rally.
Please tell us about the side programs you're running in addition to the WRC.
Also the side project that we're running McRae Kimathi in the Junior World Rally Championship alongside his African Rally Championship efforts is also part of us supporting and wanting to grow participation and to have not just a rise in interest when Safari Rally Kenya happens in June each year, but also to give the rally fans and the media and sponsors also something to really get behind for throughout the whole season. McRae's had a very, educational year so far in junior WRC, but it is an unbelievably competitive class. The level of competitors in that championship this year is extremely high. There's a number of competitors who are actually doing it for the second or third time. And when you think about McRae coming over to compete in Rally Sweden as his first WRC event ever on snow, it's still a remarkable story and the efforts that he's done. You know, he competed in the European Championship in Poland on the weekend. It didn't end as we would have all liked, but this is all about having an education year and experience year and getting some miles under his belt, and he's absolutely doing that. And I think the fact that he finished in Sweden is testimony to that, and he's continuing to finish rallies, and that's what this is about. And I think that's part of the broader story as well. We do want to use Safari Rally Kenya as a foundation project, which can then radiate out throughout Africa for the African Championship, even for the Kenyan National Championship. We want to grow regular fans. And by having regular appointments of rallying in Africa, or indeed the relevance of someone like McRae competing in WRC events or European Championship events, there's regular appointments for people to engage in the sport. And we're seeing an impact of that. It's growing.
And finally, Simon, there is a rallycross event being organized by Carl Tundo, that being organized 2 weeks after the Safari Rally. Now, your organization has taken over the management of the World Rallycross Championship. Will you meet Carl during the week to discuss his venture?
Yeah, we definitely will. The World Rallycross Championship is one that's gone through a fairly rough time recently. We took it over last year. This year, we're full electric cars. It's a calendar that's going to have to evolve quite a lot. There are no events outside of Europe this year. It's a bit of a consolidation year, just to sort of get the new technology implemented. But then for sure, we need to make it back to being a world championship as urgently as possible, and that will be for next year. So we're absolutely looking to bring the World Rallycross Championship to Africa next year. And I would be only too delighted to talk to Carl next week about the possibilities in Kenya.
Simon Asante Sana, we're really looking forward to seeing you during the week during the Safari Rally.
I'm looking forward to getting on the... I don't often look forward to getting on a plane, but I always look forward to getting on a plane to come to Kenya. And that's that will happen on Sunday. I'm looking forward to maybe having a Tusker and, you know, and meeting all the friends that we had a really good time with last year and putting on the best possible event that we can.
That's Simon Larkin, the event director for WRC Promoter. We'll be back.
Motorsports 411.
So welcome back. As we mentioned, the WRC Safari Rally is on during the week between the 23rd and the 26th of June. Now, Glenn Edmonds is a two-time Safari Rally winner, and he's also the local liaison for the Toyota Gazoo Racing Team. I got to speak to him on Zoom.
Glenn, thank you so much for joining us. This is said to be a really, really competitive Safari Rally, 12 Rally 1 cars in the main category. It should be a really thrilling event.
Definitely. You know, things change really quick in the World Rally Championship. Kelly Rovimpera, who's been doing really well, had a particularly, I won't say he had a bad Rally Sardinia, but I think he was very cautious. Let's face it, it was very, very rough, Rally Sardinia. And the Hyundais definitely seemed to come to the front with that. But Safari is a completely different game. And I believe that Neuville and Rovanpera and Elfyn Evans, along with Ott Tanak, will be right up there fighting for the lead.
The big story also in Rally 1 is the returns, first time since 2002, of Sebastian Loeb. Between him and Ogier, who are both on part-time programs this year, that should be, you know, blockbuster Hollywood stuff for this rally.
Yeah, between Loeb and Ogier. I mean, Ogier winning it last year and Sebastian Loeb with something to prove coming back to Kenya. I think it is going to be a great fight, and I think it's going to be enthralling. I'm really, really looking forward to that, because between the two of them, having this fight in Africa, it's like two big main lions scrapping it out for who's going to be the top lion in the pride. And I think this is really good. In a way, it detracts a little bit from the actual WRC itself, because, you know, everybody's going to be watching that fight.
Glenn, how much of an advantage does Ogier have over Loeb, having rallied last year and, you know, knowing the route?
Ogier already knows where he can cut and can't cut and things like that, because he has the experience from last year. Whereas Sebastian Loeb, hugely experienced, is in a way on a learning curve, because he has to write fresh notes. He has to write, he's seeing this event for the first time. Sebastian Ogier, it's like his second time here. It's going to be an enthralling battle. And really, in a way, it's a little bit sad, because it'll detract a little bit from the WRC drivers that are fighting for the championship. I think it's a really good side fight that's going on there. But all it does is make Safari that much more interesting. And you watch, there is going to be some really, really good footage coming out of this event, just as last year. I mean, but this year is going to be even better. I've seen the stages. Some of the stages
that the organizers have worked on are just unbelievable, really nice. And I got to give a hat tip to the organizers for this, because they put a lot of work into those stages with lengthening them and tidying them all up. I mean, the organizing crew has done an awesome job. So fair play to Guvi and to Anwar and his team, because, yeah, they've done a good job.
All right, Glenn, just onto the Rally 2 and Rally 3 category. In terms of the locals, I guess, you know, it depends on the condition of the course.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping that the preparation for these cars has been done really well. And the problem, again, we come down to is just how cut up will the stages be from the much faster Rally 1 cars. As we know, the more runs and passes over the stages, but the rougher they get, the deeper the ruts. The ruts build up so, get deep so quickly with the Rally 1 cars going through them with all that power. And these little Rally 3 cars don't have the clearance. And, you know, there's a lot of the times there can be rocks in the ruts. And it all depends on your experience in those areas and how much experience you've got rallying in Kenya. I think for Maxine, her best bet is not to get caught in a fight with the other Rally 3 cars, but to drive her own event and keep out of the ruts, make sure she doesn't do anything silly and hit a rock or something like that, and just keep the car going in a straight line. Once she's able to do that, I'm sure that she'll be able to get a good result. Of course, it all depends as with her as well on who's giving her sort of advice, things like that. And it's just so important about the people that she's got around her. And, you know, the other guys are already have done the safari before in those cars, so they understand them. But it's a new learning curve for her.
Glenn, on Rally 2, it's a transition year. We don't have Flash, we don't have Onker. We've got Akif Virani and Karan Patel really is our top driver at the moment. How do you expect particularly Karan to do in this event? Akif also had quite a solid event last year as well.
You know, for the Kenyan drivers, they've got good experience here, and they've done the safari before on these roads. They've also done the Equator Rally, so they've got a good experience there. I mean, I'm hoping that they don't try and get into a fight with the guys in front of them. Reliability is key. Provided they keep it clean, they'll have a good chance of getting a result in that class. But remember, you've got some very, very experienced drivers in this class anyway, with Prokop. You know, that guy's been around a long time in that car, and he's done several safaris. He's almost, as good as the drivers in the RC1 category. It surprised me, to be honest, that Prokop hasn't made step up to RC1. For the Kenyan drivers, they just need to keep it clean, stay out of the holes, don't do anything silly, no punctures, use their experience. They've got it. They understand how to rally in this country. Use their experience. Don't take any chances and keep it. Just keep the car, you know, in one piece. The problem comes is when you're dragging the car because you've got a problem, or you've had a puncture in the previous stage, or even on some of the long transport sections, because there's one very long transport section to get to the first stage, which is quite rough. We used it in the Classic, and it's very easy to pick up a puncture there and carry it all the way through. So they need to be a little bit aware of what's going on around them and just be conscious that this is for them. As long as they're able to get it to the end, the result will come. If they start pushing too hard, and they break the car and they give their service crew a big job at the end of the day or at the service points, that's when things can easily go wrong for them. So if it was for me, I would survive day one and survive day two, see where you are on day three, see who's left around you and who's in front of you, and then work it from there. But just survive those first 2 days.
Glenn, thank you so much. It's fascinating stuff you've told us. We really appreciate it. As always, your experience comes into this when you're talking. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. And, you know, I wish the Kenyans the best of luck. And as you know, I'll be working for Toyota. So I am a little bit biased there. But ultimately, it's going to be a great event. I'll see you down there, Sean. Come and find us. We'll have a chat.
That's the two-time Safari Rally winner, Glenn Edmund, speaking to us on Zoom. Glenn, of course, will be at the Safari Rally as the local liaison for the Toyota Gazoo racing team. We'll be back.
Motorsports 411 with Sean Cardavillis.
So our thanks once again to Simon Larkin, the event director for WRC Promoter, and two-time Safari Rally winner, Glenn Edmunds. Our thanks, as always, to Big City Studio. I'm Sean Cardavillis. See you at the Safari Rally.